I think we left off last time on Daf Hey Amud Beis. In the middle of the Amud, there's a parenthesis that says Simen Niklaf. So I think we were right after that. On Daf Hey Amud Beis, in the middle of the Amud. The line begins with the words Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Rav Yanke Baridi, Amar Rav Shua Ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapora. What it means is Rav Chanan heard directly from Rav Yanke Baridi, who heard directly from Rav Shua Ben Levi, who did not hear directly from Bar Kapora. Mishum Bar Kapora, in the name of Bar Kapora. Here in the name of Bar Kapora. Was it the Shang Gezocht? So he says, Rabbi Gamliel was a Tana. There was more than one person, Rabbi Gamliel, with the same name. And this is a shaila, which Rabbi Gamliel is. A historical shaila. We'll discuss the historical shaila a little bit, but not too much. Okay. There were three Rabbi Gamliels. There were two Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliels. Two of them. Two of the Rabbi Gamliels had a son, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And sometimes it's Nagel Halacha. The Gemara says, whenever the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, we always paskin like him. If it's in a brisa, we don't necessarily paskin like him. Whenever the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, we always paskin like him. So the Kesem Mishnah says, how come there are so many Rambams where the Rambam paskins against Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? So he says, no, that's the other Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So how do you know which is the right Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? So he says, it depends who he's talking to. What generation did he live in? So you got to know history, and you got to know who the contemporaries are to know which one we're paskin like. Rabbi Gamliel, there were three Rabbi Gamliels. So this is a question who it is. So Rabbi Gamliel, when he was the chief rabbi, he and the Sanhedrin decided to paskin Nimnu, they voted, Al Shchitas Kusi V'Yasruha. They paskin that if a Kusi Shushacha, the Kusim we discussed already, the Kusim, the history began in the days of Tanakh, it's in Melachim Beis, chapter Yud Zayin, Tosis quotes it on Gimel Amud Beis, that they were moved from the city Kuso, Teretz Yisrael, and they were over the Avodah Zarah. And they were being attacked by lions. So they couldn't understand. And Eretz Yisrael, there are no lions. What's going on? So they realized, they decided it must be that the God of the Jewish people is the Balabasa in Eretz Yisrael. He's Elokei Haaretz. So they better convert to Judaism. But they converted, but there was no Kabbalah on mitzvahs. They never accepted any mitzvahs. And the Pasuk says in Malachim Beis chapter Yitzayin, they continued to worship Avodah Zarah. Nothing changed from before and after. They just went through like in Eretz Yisrael, there's Gir Shalai Ka'alocha and there's Gir Ka'alocha. So Gir Shalai Ka'alocha means, but there's no Kabbalah on mitzvah. So that Geris was certainly not valid. That's called Geri Arayas. They only converted to satisfy the lions, and the lions stopped attacking them. After they converted, the lions stopped attacking them.
Like today.
The Rambam writes that not everybody, you see, we think of a bezin with real smicha. The Rambam never says that you need smicha for bezin. Tosis says to Kasha, how can we be mekabel gerim bizman hazeh? You have to have a bezin. A bezin by definition means smicha. So Tosis says shlichusayu, that the bezin today functions as the shluchim of the bezin of years ago. So the Rashba and Yevamos says on that Tosis, that Tosis in Gitnan and Yevamos. So the Rashba asks, how can it be shlichusayu? Is a takona de rabbana. We allow a bezin of non smuchim today. Nobody has smicha. We're going to celebrate Chag HaSmicha next month in yeshiva, but it's an imitation smicha. Real smicha is only ish mipi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu conferred in Eretz Yisrael. The one is giving the smicha has to be in Eretz Yisrael. The one is receiving has to be in Eretz Yisrael. They don't have to be zeb if ne zeh. You can give smicha by the mail, but they both have to be in Eretz Yisrael. So for many generations, there were no rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael giving smicha at all. So the smicha today is only imitation smicha to satisfy the takana of Rabbi Yudah Anasi, Rebbe. The Gemara says in the beginning of Sanhedrin that they were Talmid HaChachamim who knew how to learn well, but they didn't have a good diction. They didn't speak clearly. Or they spoke with a different, dialect. So they give a psak for Balabatim in one section of Eretz Yisrael with the dialect from the other section. They came out of Kilkot. They thought that he said something else. So Rebbe made a takon, a talmud al yoreh, a talmud chacham shouldn't pass on any shailas, unless he has netilas vishus. In Yiddish, in Europe, they used to refer to smicha as heter hayra, permission to paskin. Permission to paskin means, number one, he knows how to learn. Number two, he knows how to explain himself. That he has a clear diction and he can explain himself to the balabatim. So that's what we have today. We call it smicha, but it's not the real smicha. So Tosfos says that even though it's not the real smicha, but it works min haTorah, shlichusai. So shlichusai was good, not only in a din Torah. Shlichusai means that the rabbanim today who don't have real smicha can function in a din Torah. Not only because hefke bez nehefke, even in nisa beheter, they can be koif ala get. The Gemara said they're allowed to be koif ala get, and they can function as a bezden for geiris, even though meikar adin. Tosfos holds that you need a bezden of smicha for geiris. The Rambam never says you need a bezden of smicha. The Rambam apparently thinks that smicha is a din in psak, it's not a din in bezden. So if you have a case where you need a bezden, but they're not paskening anything, let's say by geiris, the bezden isn't paskening anything. We know that he's not Jewish, we know after he converts he is Jewish. It's a bezden just l'kiyam hadover. Just you have to have it, they should supervise the Kabbalah Sager. But there's nothing to paskin about. If they'll have a shaila, they'll call up Rav Moshe Feinstein, or they'll call up some other Talmid Chacham. The Bezdin doesn't have to know any halachas by the Geiris. So the Rambam says, how do they have Geirim in the days of the Tanakh? Shlaim HaMelech married the Geiris and so on. So he says, the Bezdin Shel Hadyaitis converted them. They had a Bezdin of three Balabatim who were not so learned, put together a Bezdin, and they were not careful about the Kabbalah HaMitzvahs at all. The Kusim came to Jewish people, they said, we want to convert. So they said, okay, go convert. So they converted under the auspices of Balabatim. So Tosfos says the original conversion that the Kusim did was certainly not valid. There was no Kabbalah on mitzvahs. The Tanaim had a machlokes, but the Shuvin is Gar B'Lev Shalom. Because in the days of the Tanaim, they saw that they were observing many of the mitzvahs, partially observing, fully observing. Some of them they observed more than others. So that was a machlokes. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Gamliel and his bezdin, when he was the chief rabbi of the Sanhedrin, Nimno, they voted and they paskin, Shchitas Kusi Asura. If a goy shechts, it's no good, even if a Jew is watching. Not that a Kusi doesn't have them on us. A goy shechts is Nevela, like a Kusi. A Kusi has the same thing like a goy.
All the three Rabbi Gamliels were wrote bezdin?
I think so.
All three?
Yeah. I think there were three. There was Rabbi Gamliel, the Yavna, he was earlier. Yavna is when they were Bisman Abayis, the last years of the Bayi Sheni, the Beznagoda moved to Yavna. And then after the Bayi Sheni, and then the other two Rabbi Gamliels were after the Churban Abayis. Yeah. So they said that if a goy shechts, if a kusi shechts, not acceptable. Amalei Rab Zera, the Rab Yanke Baridi, he was one of the people. Rab Chonon said in the name of Rab Yanke Baridi, in the name of Shulman Levi, that he heard in the name of Bar Kapor. So Rab Zera meets up Rab Yanke Baridi and says, Shamalo Shamal Rabbi Alab Sheni Solom Al Gabov. Maybe what you heard it was that the kusi doesn't have them on us. You can't trust him if he says I shecht it properly. But if there's a Jew Mashgiach watching the way the kusi shechts, did they really say that the kusi is dinak in Nochri? That Shchitas Nochri is no good even if a Jew is watching? Or Rabbi Gamliel just said that the kusi doesn't have them on us. You can't trust him because the kusim never accepted Torah Shabbat Peh. They didn't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. And all of Hilcha Shchita is all Torah Shabbat Peh. Nothing is written in the Chumash. All the Chumash Hilcha Shchita, we're going to get to it later. All the five halachas of Shchita, Shia Drasa, Chalad Agrama Vika, and the next half, everything is halacha Moshe Misina. So he says, Shema, maybe, where is it again? Shema lo Shema Rebbe, maybe what the tradition was, Ela B'Sheini Salah Agamav. Amalei Sir Rabbi Yanke Baridi says, are you off your mind? Domi Haim Ed Rabbanon, this Yeshiva Bacharet, Kid Loi Gemiri In Shishmaita, like one does not know how to learn at all. What, I have to tell me over Achidish, the chief rabbi, Rabbi Gamliel, and his bezin voted that you can't trust the kusi on shechita avadanat if they don't accept, they don't follow Torah Shabbat Peh. Of course you can't give them on the shechita. That's not what I heard. I heard that Rabbi Gamliel said, even if there are mashgichim watching, a kusi is dinik in nachri, legabi shechita. Not that you can't trust them ala shechita. He can't shecht like a guy. He can't shecht. So the Gemara wants to know, Rab Zera was the one who objected. Omale Rab Zera, Rab Yanke Bari. Rab Zera was questioning maybe what they said over the name of Rabbi Gamliel is incorrect. Now the Gemara wants to know, did Rab Zera accept the response that Rabbi Yanke Bari gave him or not? So the Gemara wants to know, Kibla Mine, Yoloi Kibla Mine. Did Rab Zera accept this statement that the Takona, Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dino, voted to say that a kusi is dinah kinochri, that the shechita is no good even if you have a mashgiach. Or maybe he didn't accept it. Maybe he sticks to his argument that we spent a lot of time on the opening Mishnah. There's a contradiction in the first line. Hakol shochtim shechitos and kshera. Everybody can shecht lechatchilim, but yeah, but everybody's shechita is good. First you say everybody can shecht, and then you say, but yeah, but everything is good. So the Gemara gave five or six different suggestions how it makes sense. So one of the interpretations was, it goes on akusi. That akusi can shecht, but you have to have somebody watching when he shechts. So we interpreted the Mishnah that shechitas kusi is good. Now you're telling me that Rabbi Gamliel made a takana with his bezin, shechitas kusi is no good, even if you have mashgichim watching. So that's the question, do we really accept that? So Rabbi Zeira objected to what they said in Rabbi Gamliel, so they wanted to keep them in it. Did he accept it? That it's against the Mishnah? We talk, don't pass like the Mishnah, we should pass like Rabbi Gamliel or not? See, that's the Shaila. Which Rabbi Gamliel is it? So Rashi thinks it's Rabbi Gamliel, Beno Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. They were all father, son. They were all descendants from Hillel. So there was Rabbi Gamliel ben Osher, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who was after the Mishnah. So that's why the Mishnah doesn't quote it. The Mishnah only quotes things that happened before the days of Rebbe. And Rabbi Gamliel was later. That's how Rashi learns. Taisus doesn't like that. We'll soon see in the Gemara why historically Taisus doesn't like Rashi's pshat. So the Gemara wants to know, did Rabbi Zeira accept this comment or not? Toshma, the Omer of Nachman by Yitzchok, Omer Abasi, Ani Risi, Rabbi Yechon, Shochom, Shechitas Kusi. Rabbi Yechon was a student of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. And when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi passed away, Rabbi Gamliel ben Osher, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, was then the chief rabbi. And you're telling me that Rabbi Gamliel, you just said Rabbi Gamliel, the chief rabbi, made a takana, must have been during the lifetime of Rabbi Yechonon. So he says he saw Rabbi Yechonon not when he was a young man. When Rabbi Yechonon was already an adult, he saw Rabbi Yechonon eating Mishchitas Kusi. Af Rabbi Yasi Yochal Mishchitas Kusi. Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Yasi was students of Rabbi Yechonon. So the way Rashi says, they were all after Rabbi Gamliel. Tais is going to say this was an earlier Rabbi Gamliel, so for sure everybody was later. But then according to Tais, how come it doesn't appear in the Mishnah? The whole Mishnah is based on the assumption, all the interpretations of the Mishnah. Hakol shechtim, akusi kin shecht, if someone is watching, shechitos and shebiriyevit, if you give him a kazayas and halidit, so obviously it's kosher and so on. The whole interpretation of the Mishnah was based on the assumption that akusi can shecht. So Rashi says, Hanishkin Kasha, the Mishnah was edited by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. This person, Rabbi Gamliel, was after Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi died. Rabbi Gamliel was his son. He took over the chief rabbinic position. Chief rabbi's son took over the position of chief rabbi. Rabbi Gamliel took over after, that's the way it was in every generation. Every chief rabbi was the son of the previous chief rabbi. Rebbe was the son of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. He was the chief rabbi before, and each one was the son of the previous chief rabbi. Okay.
It makes sense to say that it was Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's Yehuda HaNasi's son, because Bar Kappara was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. So he's saying this Rabbi Gamliel.
Fits in that generation. Yeah. Fits in that generation. That's what Rashi says. So the Gemara says, they think that maybe he's wrong. Maybe Rabbi Gamliel said Shechitas Kusi is not good only if you have nobody watching. If you have no Mashgiach, if you do have a Mashgiach, maybe it is good. Because one of them says, Ani Reis is Rabbi Yasi, who is a student of Rabbi Yechonon, says, I saw Rabbi Yechonon eat Shechitas Kusi, and Rabbi Yasi himself ate Shechitas Kusi. Yeah, Rabbi Yasi himself. Tosis points out there were four people. One was Rebbe Ami v'Rebbe Yasi, and there was Rav Ami v'Rav Asi. Rabbi Rebbe Ami, he obviously had smicha, so they were the students of Rabbi Yechonon who lived in Eretz Yisrael, so they could get smicha from Rabbi Yechonon. Rav Ami, they were reverends. They didn't really have smicha, so because they lived in Bovam, that's what Tosis says. There were four different people. Rav Ami and Rav Asi were good friends, and Rebbe Ami and Rav Asi were good friends. But these two lived in Eretz Yisrael, and those two lived in Bovel.
One so, Bovel lived later also, weren't they later?
I don't remember already. Don't remember. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yassi is the one who's saying over what he saw Rabbi Yechonon. Omer Rabbi Yassi Aniri, Rabbi Yechonon Shocham Shechitas Kusi. And then the Gemara adds on, he himself, the Afar Rabbi Yassi himself, Ocham Shechitas Kusi. So the question is, V'tahi bo Rabbi Zeira. And Rabbi Zeira, the same person as we mentioned before, Rabbi Zeira was the one who was picking on Rabbi Yanke Baridi. How do you know that Rabbi Gamliel's takana was that even if a kusi shechts, and there is a mashgiach watching, it was also no good. Maybe he just said the shchuita doesn't have them, the kusi doesn't have them on us. So Rabbi Yanke Baridi got so upset. He said, "Fool! That's not a chiddush that the kusi is not bagloit. That's the chadav poshut because they don't follow Torah Shabbat. Of course, they don't have them on us. The takanas Rabbi Gamliel must have been that even if you have a mashgiach watching, it's also no good that the kusi is dina ka'achim for some reason or another. We'll have to figure out why." So the Gemara says, "V'tai bar Rabbi Zera raised an issue. He asked to ask Akasha." Rabbi Zera asked Akasha, "Lashmi Elohu, is it that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabasi were not aware of the takanas Rabbi Gamliel? They don't know that Rabbi Gamliel made a takana. Di havishmi Elohu havi mekabli lo. If they would have heard Rabbi Gamliel made a takana, you're not allowed to shchitos kusi. They would follow. Odilma, maybe no. Shmi Elohu, maybe they heard he made a takana and they don't agree." Well, like it blew, maybe they didn't accept it. And then Rabbi Zera raised this question. He lived later. And he's wondering, what's the story? How can Rabbi Yechanan and Rabasi ate from Shchitos Kusi? They didn't hear the whole history? They were unaware Rabbi Gamliel made a takana? Or were they were aware and they hold that it's a mistake? They don't agree with him, Laloch. And after Rabbi Zera raised the issue, Hoda Poshit Lenavshe, later, he decided on his own what the answer is. It must be Mistabed Dishmilu Veloki Blei. Must be Rabbi Yechanan heard about the takana and he didn't accept it. If the Maisa Shohei was that they were Rabbi Yechanan and Rabasi were not aware that Rabbi Gamliel made a takana, if they would have heard about it, they would have accepted the takana. So how can Merah Shamayim, how can the Rabbi Shalom allow such a tragedy to happen that Rabbi Yechanan and Rabasi ate non kosher meat? We know hechi havi mistaya milse lemechal isura. How can such a tragedy have occurred that such tzaddikim ate nevela meat? Hashta behemtam shel tzaddikim. And Hakadosh Baruch Hu maybe takola al yadam. It says on the side. This is a story later in the Gemara. The Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer was a Tana, and he was once traveling somewhere with his chamor shel Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer. And then he stopped off at an inn to sleep overnight, and he had to give food to the chamor. Then they gave some vegetables, and the chamor didn't want to eat it. So they were trying to figure out why the chamor didn't eat. So Pinchas Bar Yochai said, "My chamor doesn't eat tray for food. Mistam, it's not gemaisit. Any fruits or vegetables that grow in Eretz Yisrael, you have to eat from some maisit. The behemoths are not Jewish. Behemoths are not Jewish, so they're permitted to eat the tray for food. But they're permitted to eat real tray for food. But if they eat not gemaisa tevel, fruits and vegetables that grow in Eretz Yisrael, then it comes out that the owner of the behemoth violated a nisa. Tevel is muta ba'hanoah, but it's not muta ba'hanoah shel kilui. Let's say I don't want to sit on the floor, I want to sit on an elevated position. So I put a few sacks of tevel and I sit down on top. So if it's all, the food is all covered up, there's no issue of hefsid oichlim, otherwise it's not allowed to be mafsid food, just because you want to sit on a higher position. If it's in a sack, there's no hefsir oichlim. Are you getting hanoah from the tevel? So the Gemara says, "Msachim tevel is muta b'hanoah." But it's also b'hanoah shel kilui. To take tevel and feed it to animals means that you're mevatel the mitzvah of hafrashas trumas amaisas. You're not supposed to feed it to animals without first being mafrash trumas amaisas. So that's what the Gemara says. Behemtam shel tzadikim, Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer's chamor was careful not to cause the Jews to violate the issue of Hanosh Shel Kilu. So the Chamor was trained, the Chamor understood, if you would show me some food, I would know the difference between Tevel and not Tevel. But Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer's Chamor was so wonderful, he could tell what was Tevel and what was not Tevel, and the Chamor wouldn't eat anything that was Tevel. So the Gemara says, if Behemtam Shel Tzadikim Ena Kodesh Baruch Hu maybe Takola Al Yodam, the Rabban Shalom sees to it that the behemoths won't eat tray for food. Tzadikim atzmam like kolshken. It's a kavachem, but tzadik himself wouldn't happen. The Gemara is going to tell a whole story later that Rebbe Hita Beit Shan. Beit Shan is an area in Eretz Yisrael. And for years they always assumed that it's part of Eretz Yisrael. To the northeast, the south, and the west, everything around it is Eretz Yisrael. Punkt over there. So the Gemara tells a story that the brother-in-law of Rab Meir, we're going to get to it soon, brother-in-law of Rab Meir said over to Rabbi Yudah Nasi that he once saw Rab Meir, his brother-in-law, eat vegetables, and it looked to me that he wasn't mafresh trumas amaisus. So how could that be? So Rabbi Yudah Hanasi understood it must be that Rabbi Meir had a tradition that part of Eretz Yisrael is really chutz lords. That whenever mekadosh, and after the 7 years of Golus Babel, they had to be Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael all over again. So for political reasons, they were not Mekadosh all of Eretz Yisrael. They left out a lot of areas because Shemitah was very difficult to observe. Like today, most of the farmers in Eretz Yisrael rely on the Het HaMechir. Then they couldn't make a Het HaMechir. Shemitah was their Raisa. The Het HaMechir only work, possibly works if you hold that Shemitah is only the Rabbana. But if it's Bana Bai, Shemitah was their Raisa, so you can't have any Het HaMechir. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi hit the Beit Shan. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi reversed the common practice. Everybody was being mafresh Chumas and Maisus in the Beit Shan area. And Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said, you don't have to. Why? Because if Rabbi Meir ate Tevel, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe takol al yodai, and it must be that this is Chutz Lord. It's not Eretz Yisrael. The Chazon Ish wrote that he doesn't think that the Gemara goes on the whole Beit Shan Valley. He thinks that it goes on a certain section in the Beit Shan. And then years after the Chazon Ish's Sefer was printed, they discovered in the northern part in the Galil, in Eretz Yisrael, they discovered a plaque that was in the front of a shul from centuries ago, from the times of the Bai Sheni, where they tell you exactly which parts of the, which section of the Beit Shan have Kedush and which section don't have Kedush. The Chazon Ish didn't know that far, how much. He just knew, he just had a feeling that it doesn't go on the whole Beit Shan. It goes on sections of the Beit Shan. So the archaeologists discovered that that's the way it was, that he was right.
Wasn't there one sheet that was mechalek by Nisidur Rabbanan because it's the Isiri Gavra, not Chefsa, therefore the Shogeg wouldn't be an issue? So would this be against, would this Gemara be a Raya against that sheet?
I don't know the Gemara, maybe they're talking about Dinam Deraisa, but Tosfos has a whole slew of kashas. The bottom Tosfos has a whole series of kashas. So one of the kashas is that the Gemara tells on the last Perakim Sochim that one of the Chachamim, by mistake, ate before he said Havdalah. So Tosfos said, how can it happen if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Takala, they are Tzadikim, how can it happen? So the Achrayim ask on the Nesivas. The Nesivas says that all Yisurim Derabbanan are only Yisuri Gavra, whereas Yisurim Deraisa are Yisuri Chefta. What's the difference, Halacha Maisa? So he says, if a person eats an Issa Deraisa, even B'shoigeg, it's going to have a negative effect on his soul. It's like eating poison. Even if you eat the poison B'shoigeg, it's going to have a negative effect. So, but Yisurim Derabbanan are only an Issa Gavra. You're not allowed to rebel against the Psak of the Bezin. So if you violate an Issa Derabbanan B'shoigeg, so the Nesivas HaZachidosh, you don't need any Kapora at all. It's not considered an Aver at all. So the Achrayim, the Chidor, Chidor was before the Nesivas. Chidor was in the 1700s. Nesivas was in the early 1800s. But the Chidor and the Choshe Mishpot already knew this idea, chilek between Issa Derabbanan and Issa Deraisa. So he points out that this bottom Tosfos is against that. And the Gemara could say that it's talking about an Issa Deraisa, that Shechitas Kusi maybe is Nevela, maybe the Psak was on the level of Deraisa, it's Nevela. Yeah. But Tosfos asks kashas from things that are clearly only the Rabbana, eating before Abdullah. That's maximum only the Rabbanan, yeah.
Why is Heter Mechir only works if it's the Rabbanan and not the Raisa?
Because the Gemara in Gittin, in the end of Perek HaShaleach, has a discussion. If you sell a farm in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew, so Yesh Kinyan L'Nochav Eretz Yisrael, to plant and to build a house, whatever he wants, a non-Jew can purchase area in Eretz Yisrael. But the Gemara has a machlok, they say, Yesh Kinyan Eretz Yisrael L'Hafkiyah Mi'atrumas HaMaisis. Also, do you say that the mitzvah to be mafresh Trumas HaMaisis, and the mitzvah to observe Shemitah begins on the owner of the farm. The farmer has a mitzvah to be mafresh Trumas HaMaisis. And if he's not mafresh, then everything is tevel. And if you buy from him, it's still tevel. But what if the owner of the farm is a non-Jew? So he only has to observe Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So the owner never had a mitzvah of Hafrosha, so the Peiris never became Tevel. So if you buy from him, so if it's not Tevel, it's not Tevel, there's no problem. And the same question may possibly be regarding Shemitah. If the mitzvah of Shemitah begins as a mitzvah on the owner of the farm, how does the pasuk say? A mitzvah... It starts off as a mitzvah sesei. So the owner of the farm, if he's not Jewish, he doesn't have to observe the mitzvah sesei. And the yisurim, the kedushas perishvis, and the yisurim all stem from the fact that the owner of the farm has to observe the mitzvah. So maybe if the owner is non-Jew, he doesn't begin, the mitzvah doesn't get off the ground. So the Gemara has this machlokes where the Yesh Kinyan Halacha Beretz Yisrael Hafkini Atrumas Amaisus. So at the end of the Gemara, it sounds like the Gemara says a distinction between Deraisa and Derabbanan. With respect to Dinam Deraisa, Ein Kinyan Halacha Hafkia. With respect to Dinam Derabbanan, Yesh Kinyan Halacha Hafkia. So that's the way the Matirim read the Gemara. They said, so since the Rambam sounds like he says Beferish that the whole din of Shemitah Bizman is only the Rabbanon. So since Shemitah is only the Rabbanon, so we should say even in Eretz Yisrael proper, Yesh Kenyan and Ochri Lahavkiya. The Gemara only says it regarding Surya, that David HaMelech conquered Surya before all of Eretz Yisrael was conquered. So the Gemara says that's called Kibush Yochid. So the Gemara has a machlek this, where the Kibush Yochid is good, Kibush Yochid, Shmei Kibush, to be Mekadish Surya Menat Torah, or Kibush Yochid Menat Torah is Lav Shmei Kibush. And the fact that the Chayv in Shum Samaisis and Shemitah in Surya, maybe it's only Midrabban. So the Gemara Taka says that's how we pass. Machlek Satanoim, we passed him that Surya was only Kibush Yochid, and Minatora Lav Shme Kibush, it didn't have Kedusha Saritzol Minatora, it's only Midrabban. So the Gemara says, therefore, since Surya is only Midrabbanon, so if a non Jew owns a farm in Surya, so the laws of Shemitah don't apply. So the Matirim say, it's Beferish in the Gemara, whenever it's only Midrabbanon, so Yesh Kinyan and Ochri Lahavkiya. And the other, the Oisrim, the Beis Halevi, was from the Oisrim, so he said it doesn't say that in the Gemara. It says Surya. Surya is not every, the Gemara never said, in Eretz Yisrael, Yesh Kenya Lahafkiya on Maisa Yerek. Mahafrosh is Trumas Maisa's on vegetables is only with the Rabbanon. Mahafrosh is Trumas Maisa's on Buxer is only with the Rabbanon. Many Rishonim Mahafrosh is Trumas Maisa's on all fruits is only with the Rabbanon, except for Zeisim Badnovin. That's their Isa. And all other fruits, most of Rishonim holds only the Rabbanon. Most of Rishonim hold Trumas and Maisa only their Isa on Dog Natirish Vitz, on Chameshis Mini Dogan, on the grains, and on wine, on grapes, and on olive oil, and on olives. And all other Trumas and Maisa is only the Rabbanon. So Hakam and Ever says in the Gemara, the Yesh Kinyan, the Eretz Yisrael, Hafkiya, and everything outside of Dog Natirish Vitz. So the Beis HaLevi thinks that it's not correct. He thinks only Syria, the whole Kedusha Sa'aretz is only Midirabban. It's a make-believe Kedusha Sa'aretz. And Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha is the Raisa. The Chiyav Trumas and Maisis on Shar Peres is only Midirabban. But the Kedusha Sa'aretz is the Raisa. So he thinks that the whole Hetem Mechira doesn't make any sense. And the others disagreed. The Hetem Mechira wasn't developed in the late 1800s. The Rabbanim, the Beis HaLevi, lived in the late 1800s. The big Machlekes was in the late 1800s. When they first made them, when they first started moving back from Europe to Eretz Yisrael. But it was in the 1600s. The Gdolim in the 1600s had the Asik, and the Sfardish, there were only Sfardish Rabban, there were no Ashkenazim then. So all the Sfardish Gdolim came up with this Heter, that the Yesh Kinyan Lahavke, even in Eretz Yisrael, of Shemitah is only the Rabban. Why should Shemitah only be with the Rabbanon? So the Pashtus and the Ramam is that Shemitah Bezman is only the Rabbanon. Because Shemitah is only there, it's a machlokes hatanoim. Is Shemitah only the Raisa if you think that at the end of 49 years, the next year is going to lead up to a Yovel? But if you know in advance, not going to lead up to a Yovel, so maybe the whole Shemitah is only the Rabbanon. So Rashi quotes that that's a machlokes hatanoim in the Torah's Kohanim, in the Sifro de Beirav, on the beginning of Parshas Bahar. If you know in advance, it's not going to lead up to Yovel. Why is it not going to lead up to Yovel? Because the Gemara says, based on the pasuk on the Liberty Bell, that it says, "Across from Dror Ba'aretz, L'chol Yoshveh B'zman Shekol Yoshveh Aleho, thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants." That that's Hainu, when you have Kol Yoshveh Aleho, the majority of the old Jewish population lives in Eretz Yisrael. But if they don't live in Eretz Yisrael, then you don't observe Yovel. You don't observe Yovel, so the Shemitah is only Midirabon. That's the simple reading of the Rambam, that the Shemitah B'zman Hazeh is only Midirabonon. And that's why the Gedolim in the 1600s held that Yesh Kinyan and Ochri Lahavkiya. That's called the Heta Mechira.
But what's considered ownership? Like, let's say a Jew owns it, you know, in year three every cycle, but years four through two, he sells it to a goy. He holds it. He only owns it 1 year out of seven. So is that so? According to the, you know, when it was Midaraisa, was that?
No, it depends. The seventh year. Who owns it the seventh year? The Shnas HaShemitah.
The Goy.
So if the Goy owns it, the Shnas HaShemitah, then they say, Yesh Kenyon Anachri, that the laws of the Mitzvah of Shemitah doesn't set in.
Even if it's Midaraisa, even back then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's the Machlokes HaTanaim in the end of the Perek HaShaleach. So the Gemara Paskins, Yesh Kenyon LaHafkiya in Surya, because Surya is only Midirabbanon. But in there it's all proper, if Shemitah is the Raisa, ain't Kenyon LaHafkiya. So the Matirim held, even in Eretz Yisrael proper, if Shemitah B'zman HaZeh is only with the Rabbanon, why is only the Rabbanon? Because it can't possibly lead up to Yovel, because you don't have Kol Yashveh HaLeo. You have less than a rive of the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael.
My question is, let's say everything is perfect, you know, this is all Midarais and everything, you know, back then all the Jews live in Israel. So, what is considered Mesira? Mesira is usually when I sell it just for the inconvenient year, right, just for the seventh year. But let's say I the Goy owns it almost all the time. I only buy it from him, you know, once in the blue moon, not in the seventh year.
Right.
So then, all that produce.
So belongs to the guy in Shnas HaShemitah. So we paskin when it was their Isa, we paskin en kinyan and acher lafkia. That the laws of Shemitah still apply. All the laws of Shemitah still apply.
And the guy has to.
No, the guy doesn't have to observe them, but he can't have Jewish workers work for him. Let's say a guy has a company, he doesn't have to keep Shabbos, but if he hires Jews, they can't work on Shabbos in the Goyish factory. So the guy owns the farm in Eretz, so he doesn't have to observe Shemitah, but he can't have Jewish farmhands plowing and planting the field in Shnas HaShemitah. If it would have been only the Rabbanon, and you would have sold it to a guy, and the farm would belong to a guy, so then these Gedolim would say, Yesh Kinyan Anochri L'Havkia, so the whole deal of Shemitah doesn't apply. So you can have even Jewish people working the field.
So that's only on a food that's
awesome. Right.
I mean, if we're eating before
Abdullah,
the food is
mutter. That's what Taisus answers. The only time we say, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu maybe takol al yodam, is if the food itself is awesome. But to eat before Abdullah, the food is mutter. That's what Taisus answers. So the Chidor says, why did Taisus have to stand on the head, give that answer? Why don't they just say it's only the Rabbanan? And the Rabbanan, the whole Kavu Chaimah doesn't apply. So you see from Taisus that they don't agree with the Nesivus Svarah. The Chidor already knew about that song. That's a famous Nesivus. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the dinim of Mekach Toes. I bought, let's say, a woman just got me on the phone. She bought a shetel for $3,000 and it's supposed to be human hair, and it didn't work, and then she gave it back, and then it still didn't work, gave it back. Every time she gave it back 10 times, still doesn't work. It's Mamish and Mekach Toes. So she's entitled to get all of her money back. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rambam, and the Rambam writes like this: what if I bought kosher food from a kosher restaurant, from a kosher store, a butcher store, and then later on I find out that it's not kosher. So I give it back and I get all of my money back. What if I bought food that was advertised as kosher and I ate it already? We all ate it already, it's gone. And then I find out that it's treif. So the Rambam says it depends whether it's an Issa deraisa or an Issa derabbanan. If it's an Issa deraisa, even if you ate it already and you can't give it back, it's his fault that I ate it, because he told me that it's kosher, I can eat it. Now he tells me that he realizes he made a mistake, so I can't give it back, that's his fault. But the Mekach Tos is absolutely Mekach Tos. I get my refund, I get every penny back, even though I ate it up, and I can't give it back. But if it's a Nisa de Rabbanan, I ate up already, so then I don't get the money refunded. So we don't know what the Mokar is. We don't know what the Mokar is. There is no Gemara like that. It must be a Tshuva Sagadim, because whenever the Rambam writes anything that's original, he writes Yeroyli. He has fewer than 100 times he writes Yeroyli. And everything else, he's always quoting. So he doesn't write Yeroyli. It must be some Tshuva Sagadim or something. It's not a Gemara. But what's the Bir Hadova? Why should it make a difference? So that's where the Nesivus explains in the middle of Hilchas Mekach Toes. So he says that if it's an Issa deraisa, mamish it's a faulty, like I bought a shetel that doesn't fit. I bought an automobile that doesn't function well. The brakes don't work. The gas doesn't work, whatever. The reverse doesn't work. There's something broken in the thing. It doesn't work. So it's a Mekach Tos. So if you buy non-kosher food menatera, it's mamish a Mekach Tos. So if you buy an Issa derabanan, it's only a Mekach Tos because you're not allowed to eat it. But if you ate it already, you didn't do any avera. You ate it b'shogig, there's no avera. So you don't get your money back. Not that the Cheft, the Chacham can't change the Metzias of the Cheft. That's a Nesivus' interpretation of that Rambam. So the Chidor already knew that there was such a vort on the Rambam, so he shows from this taste that he doesn't like it. He thinks that it's not correct. So the Gemara again. Rab Zeira questioned Rab Yanke Baridi, you're telling me you have a historical tradition, Rabbi Gamliel made a takana, that Shechitas Kusi is Nevela. it's even if there was a mashgiach. So he says, of course, that's what I'm talking about. If there's no mashgiach, of course he can't rely. So Rabbi Zera wasn't so convinced. So Gemara wanted to know, did he accept what Rabbi Yanka Baridi told him or not? That he accepted that the takaras from Gamliel goes even if the mashgiach was watching. So now the Gemara is going to prove Toshma that they said Rabbi Yechanan ate shchitas kusi, Rabasi ate shchitas kusi. So the Gemara is not sure. How come they ate shchitas kusi? Is it that he was aware of what Rabbi Gamliel had made a takana and he doesn't accept it? He disagrees with Rabbi Gamliel's takana. Nothing wrong with shchitas kusi. Or maybe he wasn't aware that Rabbi Gamliel made a takana. If he would have been aware, he would have not eaten shchitas kusi. So then after Rabbi Zera raised the question, so he said, that's ridiculous what I raised the possibility. Tzadikim, en HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe takal yodim. How can it be? Rabbi Yechanan wasn't aware that Rabbi Gamliel made a takana. If he would have known, he would have not eaten it. So that's a takal, bas takal yodim. So the Gemara says, why did Rabbi Zera think it's going to be a takal? Maybe Rabbi Gamliel's takana that shchitas kusi is no good is only if no one's watching. Maybe Rabbi Yechanan ate shchitas kusi because there was a mashgiach. There was a mashgiach watching. So the Gemara says, "Yisal kadaitach." And if you're going to think that Rabbi Zera didn't accept the response, Rabbi Yanke Baridi screamed at him, "You talk like an idiot! The Yeshiva Bacha doesn't have an ounce of brains in his head. You think Rabbi Gamliel had to make a takana if there's no mashgiach? Of course, no mashgiach. He can't trust the kusi. They don't accept Torah Shabbat Peh. That's evident. That's elementary. No, takanas Rabbi Gamliel was even if there was a mashgiach." So the Gemara wasn't sure whether Rabbi Zera accepted that comment that Rabbi Yanke Baridi screamed at him and he insulted him or not. And if you're going to say Rabbi Zera didn't accept the argument that Rabbi Yanke Baridi told him, so the Shanilei, now when Rabbi Zera raised, it's the same person but a different issue. Now Rabbi Zera raised the question that Rabbi Yechanan ate shchitas kusi, what happened? Is it he knows about takonas Rabbi Gamliel and he doesn't care, he holds that Rabbi Gamliel had no right to make such a takona? They were contemporaries. Rabbi Gamliel was the chief rabbi because he was the son of Rabbi Yehudah Hanasi. Rabbi Yechanan held that he knows better, that he shouldn't have made a chumrah, he shouldn't have made a nisan shchitas kusi. Or is the pshat? No, Rabbi Yechanan wasn't aware, and if he would have been aware, he wouldn't have eaten it. So the Gemara says, V'yisal kadaitach lo kib l'minei. And if Rabbi Zera didn't accept the screaming that Rabbi Yanke Baridi gave him over the head, l'shani leisa, what was the kasha over here? How can Rabbi Yechanan possibly eat shchitas kusi? So nishkan kash, maybe Rabbi Yechanan ate shchitas kusi where there was a mashgiach. L'shani lei, let him answer this issue. Kan she yisolei mir al gabav, kan she yisolei mir al gabav. Rabbi Gamliel's takona that you're not allowed to eat is only if there's no mashgiach. If there is a mashgiach, then you can eat. Rabbi Yechanan ate shchitas kusi, there was a mashgiach. So obviously, alalav shmamina kibla minei shmamina. You see, the Rabbi Zera did accept what Rabbi Yanke Baridi screamed at him, that you are a moron, you don't have an ounce of brains, and you had, of course, if the kusi, no one was watching, of course you can't trust them. Takanas Rabbi Gamliel was, even if the Jew is what, even a mashgiach is watching, is also no good. It's also no good. Rabbi Yechanan didn't accept it. He held that the takana was improper, incorrect. Rabbi Gamliel shouldn't have made such a takana. Then the Gemara wants to know, my time of Gazer Bu Rabbana. Why did Rabbi Gamliel want the whole Bezin? Why did they ask for Shechitas Kusi? Until their time, the Mishnah says Shechitas Kusi is good if he's Sala Amir Agabah, if there's a Mashgiach watching. So why all of a sudden did they change the Psak after the days of the Mishnah? After Rabbi Yehuda Nasi wrote the Mishnah, then comes the son of Rabbi Gamliel and reverses the Psak. My time of Gazer Bu Rabbana. So the Gemara says, because there was a Maisa Shehoya, Kiho, like the following story. The Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar was a student of Rabbi Meir. Shadu Rabbi Meir, so he chamra me bekusar. Rabbi Meir asked him probably once on Erev Shabbos. He needs wine for Kiddush and Avdola, so he sent him to the Kusim. At that time, the Kusim, some of them were shomrei mitzvahs, so he sent him to the Kusim to buy. I guess he lived there near the village where the Kusim lived, and he said, "Go buy some wine from the Kusim." So the Tana, the student of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, went. Ashkechehu sova. And there was an old man there in the village, and he sees that this yeshiva bacha is trying to buy some wine. So he whispers to him, and he says, "Omale." He whispers, and he says, "V'samta tzachkin b'loyech im bal nefesh ato." If you want to be machmer, if you want to be a yerei shemayim, put a knife in your mouth. It means don't eat. The stuff is not kosher. Don't drink the wine from over here. Go shopping somewhere else. Don't buy over here. So he didn't know what to do. Halach Reb Shimon Elazar received the of Neir Rab Meir. So Rabbi Meir was the one who sent them to go buy the wine, buy the kusim. So he tells him, when I was there, an old man approached me. I don't know if it's Eliyahu Navi. I don't know if it's a crackpot. I don't know if it's a kibitzer. I don't know if he's a rabbi. I don't know who he is. A guy whispers to me, I wouldn't buy the wine here. It's not kosher. Goodbye. So he said, what should I do? So he tells it, the Sipa Dorim Lefnei Rav Meir. The Gozer Alem, Rav Meir said, okay, that's what the old man told you. We have to make a gzeri. You're not allowed to drink the wine from the kusin, like a goyisha wine. My timer. Why? What motivated, just because an old man told him his old treif, don't buy his thing. Mar says, no, they made a shtickle investigation. Many of the kusim used to hang around Hargrizim, and then they discovered a statue of a dove on Hargrizim. And there were different kusim, like in our generation, we have a lot of karoim. We have karites from Europe and from Asia, from Africa. Each one is a different story. Each one has a different shtick. So here, these kusim who lived around Hargrizim, so they were worshipping the Musta Yoyna. So what does that have to do with all the other kusim? He said, Rav Meir sent his student, Rav Shimon Elazar, to a different location, not to Hargrizim. He sent him to a different city to buy wine from the kusim. So why did Rav Meir ask for that wine? What has it got to do with Hargrizim? So Gemara, Rav Meir letaimei, Rav Meir went l'shitosa d'chayish l'miyuta v'gozaruba otu miyuta. Rav Meir holds, even though it says in the Chumash, Acharam lahatis, in the context of the original pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, Acharam lahatis means that if you have a split vote in a bezin, you follow the majority. But also included in the pasuk is, if you don't know what the facts of the case are, so you follow the rules of probability. So if we've taken a poll, so we have data that 85% of the time it rains in the month of February. So I'll be right, it's going to rain. You have a right to follow Rav. So Rav Meir says, despite the fact that that's what it says in the Chumash, Acharam Lahatos, then there are more dinim. There's a din of Ruba Kukuloi. Din of Ruba Kukuloi when you shech the behemoth. So you don't have to shech the entire kone, the wind pipe, you don't have to shech the entire veshet, the whole food pipe. If you shech Rav, 51% is Ruba Kukuloi. You drink Abrikosis on Pesach night. If you drink Rav Kois, is Ruba Kukuloi. So everything is based on that pasuk. The original pasuk goes on a split vote in a bezin. That you follow the Rav. If you have a bezin for din in the fashets and you have 23 dayonim, if you have a split vote, 13 say chayv and 10 say pot, they go basarayv and give him the death penalty. So also included are the other dinim of Rav. So Rav Meir is of the opinion that's minatera. But midirabbanon, he holds chashin lemiyuta. There's a chumrah with the rabban to be choshish lemiyuta. Where does Rav Meir hold chashin lemiyuta? Where is this? The original din. This is Rav Meir letaimei. Rav Meir goes l'shitosa that we know that he holds like this somewhere else. So Rashi fills you in. Rashi writes Yivam Zdav Samachalov on the base in parentheses in Rashi. What's the Yivam Zdav Samachalov? So it says a man dies and he leaves an almana. Unfortunately, in Eretz Yisrael, they have a lot of young men killed in the army. Didn't have a chance to have any children yet. So let's say, you know, today you don't have this. Let's say the almana is not yet bas mitzvah. We don't marry off girls before they're bas mitzvah. Girls don't get married till they're 19 years old, 18, 19 years old. But let's say the girl, the father married off the daughter, she's not even bas mitzvah, and the husband died, and the girl wants to have chalitza. So you can't have chalitza if the girl is not bas mitzvah, you can't do chalitza. Or let's say the girl is 20 years old, but the brother of the man who died is a katan. He's not yet bar mitzvah. So that's a din deraisa. You have to wait till the boy is a bar mitzvah in order to be able to do the chalitz. So that's a din katan ktana lo cholzen. They can't do chalitz. Why not? So the Mishnah explains because it says by chalitz, kochi yosel lo ish, asher lo yivnes beisach ish, either has the connotation of ish v'lo isha or ish v'lo katan, either one or the other. So ish v'la isha doesn't make any sense. With kochi also ish, ish v'la isha. The woman wanted the yibum. The brother didn't want to do the yibum. So it can't mean kochi also ish v'la ish. It means ish prat l'kotten, that a kotten can't do chalitza. How do you know that a ketana can't do chalitza? So the Gemara says makshinin ish v'la ish. There's a hekesh. Just like the yavam has to be bar mitzvah to be able to perform chalitza, the yavama also has to be bas mitzvah to be able to participate in the chalitza. That's a big discussion Taisus has in the middle of Yevamos, the end of Yevamos, whether that din makshina isha liish, that the girl has to be bas mitzvah, that's also deraisa, or that's only midirabbanan. And there's one day in Tosfos that if it's only midirabbanan, so maybe the Mishnah says there's one giris in the Mishnah. Maybe if you have a big shas hatchak, maybe if a ketana would do chalitza, but yevid it would be good. Hashad, the two girsas in the Mishnah. Where the makshin and ishaliyish, the hekish between the yavam and the yavam is the raisa drabban. But the yavam for sure has to be bar mitzvah to be able to do chalitza. What about to be able to do yibum? So there the Rana psukim. There the Rana psukim that say that that he has to be bar mitzvah. So he has to be at least 9 years old. If he's not 9 years old, then ain't be also beer. And the girl has to be at least 3 years old. If she's plusim and bashar shonim emecha, then ain't be also beer. So let's say the boy is 9 years old and the girl is 3 years old. Let's say they're both 10 years old. So would you allow them to live together? The brother of the nifter with the almana. They're both 10, 11 years old. But yes, the whole thing is nonsense. Whoever heard a 10-year-old boy should marry a 10-year-old girl? The whole thing is ridiculous. But in Mishnais and Yivamis especially, every single case is covered. They don't have one case. They say if they're five brothers, five sisters, every case and all the detail, everything. So the Mishnah has this case spelled out explicitly, that if the let's say the Yavama who needs the Chalitza is 20 years old, and the Yavam is only 10 years old. So the Mishnah says if she wants to, they can live together. If she's interested in raising her husband, she's 20, he's only 10. So the Mishnah says, Tikad Lenu. She can raise him if she agrees to have beer from him, and she wants to live with him. She probably won't want to. Which normal girl, 20-year-old girl, is going to marry a 10-year-old boy? But the Mishnah says she wants to. She's allowed to. Then it says Rameya disagrees. Why? Because Rameya says the din of Yibum v'chalitza only applies. What's the whole story of Yibum v'chalitza? The couple was married for 50 years, and then the husband dies, and they have no children. How come they had no children? So it could be because the one who died was a Saris. Could be the Almana who survived the husband. Could be that she's an islandess. So if he was a Saris, or she was an islandess, or if the surviving brother is a Saris, then the whole din of Yibum v'chalitza doesn't apply, period. So you have to ascertain. They didn't have children. They went to doctors. They didn't have children. So obviously, either he's an Okar or she's an Akara. But Okar v'Akara is not the same as Saris or islandess. Alkalakar means there's some hormone imbalance because of which they couldn't have children, which today would have been able to be possibly corrected. Soros violinus means the whole body grows abnormally. It's a whole different story. He's not really a Zohar and not really an Akeva. It's something in between a Zohar and a Akeva. So that's a difference. Alkalakar, you do have Chalitza B'vivim. The whole story in the Chumash is they've never had children. Someone was either an Akar, she was an Akara. There was obviously something wrong. But if someone is a Saris, either the Nifter is a Saris or the surviving brother is a Saris, or if she was really an islandess, then you don't have. So how often does it happen that a man is a Saris, a woman is an islandess? It's very rare. Very rare. It's a miyut. So the Chachamim say, if she's 20 years old and the Yovam is 10 years old and she agrees to live with him, to have Yibum, so the Mishnah says, Tegaleno. So let her raise him and they're allowed to live together. Rameh says, you're not allowed to. Shema Yimotzei Saris. You have to be Chashina Lemiyut, even though it's very far-fetched, very rare. Well, let's say if she would be a Ketana before the age of 12, Rabbi Meir would say we wouldn't permit her to do Yibum because Shema Yimotzei Islandess. How often does it happen that a woman is an islandess? And Akara is more common, but an islandess is very unusual, very rare. So Rabbi Meir says Chashina Lemiyut. If it would have been a Miyuta, the Miyuta, if it would have been Mamish, only a very tiny percentage. My impression is that islands probably is a miyuta de miyuta. I don't know, but apparently the Tanoim didn't think so. So if it's miyuta de miyuta, even Rameh loy chayish le miyuta. That's the Gemara, the first daf in Gittin. If miyuta de miyuta, I feel Rameh loy chayish. But if chashina le miyuta, that's what Rameh says.
What happens when you chayish le miyuta according to Rameh? So why couldn't they live together?
She was married to my brother.
Right.
And achos eish esachas and isa kareis. And it's only muta b'makim yibum. So if I am a soris, or if she is an islandess, then there's poigim be'erva. Then it's you're back to the iser eish esach. The iser eish esach is only muta b'makim mitzvah.
What's the percentage of muta?
I don't know. My guess would be that islandess is really a miyuta de miyuta, but the Tanoim didn't think so. Tanaim thought that it's miyuta. Miyuta, because miyuta, miyuta, afil rameh, loichai, shlo miyuta. Yeah.
If the brother dies, then he doesn't work for by sisters, we say that once the first sister dies, the husband can marry.
It's permitted to marry Achis Ishta, yeah.
Uh-huh. But it doesn't work the other way, where
right.
You have two brothers in
the. Right. Right. That's Beferish and the Chumash. They tell a story about the Rab Chaim Moshe. He once attended a conference of Rabbanim, and then he wanted to get home for Shabbos, and there was snow, and he couldn't get home. He got stuck in the village, and there's nobody to talk to and learning, and he was going out of his mind. Rab Chaim Moshe, when he went on vacation, they used to have a special bus to go from Vilna that people should pester him all day long with childless. He would go out of his mind if they wouldn't ask him. He would talk on a telephone and sign a smicha and listen to a shada and a chicken. He would do 10 things at the same time. He would talk on a telephone to 2 different people at the same time. He was such a super genius. So he got stuck in this village in Shabbos. There was no one to talk to and learning, and he felt so awful. So towards the end of Shabbos, one of the balabatim in the shul came and he asked him an advice. Rebbe, the Welt says that dort vusa dort Torah, dort is dort chochma, and he knows that Rabbi Chaim Moshe is a big Talmid Chacham, so he wants to ask him an advice. After my brother passed away, and he left an almana with 5 children, and the people say I should marry her to raise the children. What do you think? So he said, what do you mean, what do I think? It's an Isur Kares. It's Eshesach Shaleb Maka Mitzvah. So he thanked him, and he said, okay, I'm not going to do it. So then he understood why Min HaShemayim. They stuck him in that village of Shabbat. There was no rabbi, there's no one to talk to. The Balabas didn't know. And the other Balabatim were encouraging him he should marry his brother's almana. They never heard of the din that Eshesach Shaleb Maka Mitzvah is an Isur Kares. Yeah, that's the Mishnah is like that. It's only muta to marry Eish Yisach if it's b'moka mitzvah, if you have the mitzvah of Yibum. So the Gemara says, just like Rameir Chayish Lemiyuto, he doesn't allow the Yavam Katan or the Yavam Ektana to live together, because it may turn out they're only 10 years old. If he'll wait another year or two, when she's supposed to become a gedola, he's supposed to become a bar mitzvah, we may come to the realization, maybe we can't detect it when they're only 9, 10 years old. Maybe when she'll become 12, or he'll become 13, we'll realize that the boy is a saris, the yavam is a saris, and or the yavam is an islandess, in which case the whole mitzvah of yivam doesn't apply. So it'll be an eshesach shalav maka mitzvah. So just like Rameh holds chashin and limiyuta, you have to be choshish, maybe there's an issa. You don't, minatari, you go, holchemachar harayv. The likelihood is, you go by the probability. You're not mukhayv to be choshish for this miyuta. But when the rabbanon made a chumra, Taisus later is not sure whether chashin al miyuta is a din derais, a din derabbanon. Poshib shat is only a din mid derabbanon. Rab Meir agrees it's a pasuk acharam lahata. So it's a chumra mid derabbanon. So just like Rab Meir holds chashin al miyuta mid derabbanon there to ascertain the facts, so to over here, they ascertained that the kusim who used to hang around Hagrizim used to worship Abedazara, the Dmus Yaina. They found the statue that was in the shape of the dove. So they realized that they're worshiping Abedazara. So Rameh's Chayish Lemiyuta, maybe just like they're worshiping Abedazara, maybe all of the kusim are also worshiping Abedazara. It's a different kind of Chayish Lemiyuta, it's not the same. Just like he holds by ascertaining the facts, that you shouldn't follow Achir Rabban Lahatas. There is a possibility, there's a far-fetched possibility, maybe there's an Okar, maybe there's a Saris or an Islandess here, so you're not allowed to do Yibum. So to over here, he would say, Ramei L'Tamei, just like there he says, Chashin L'Miyuta, you should say here also. The Gozar Ruba Ot Miyuta, maybe if the Miyut of the Kusim worship Abed Azara, maybe you have to be Choshish, maybe all of the Kusim worship Abed Azara. And the same thing, Rabbi Gamliel, we were asking, my time of the Rabbi Gamliel. Why did Rabbi Gamliel say that even if the Kusi shechts with the Mashgiach watching, it's like a Goy shechting with the Mashgiach and the Shechitos and the Veil? Why did he say that? Because Rabbi Gamliel, this, we don't know which Rabbi Gamliel this is. There were 3 Rabbi Gamliels. This Rabbi Gamliel maybe thinks like Rabbi Meir also, Chashin and the Miuto, and there was a Miut of Kusim who worshipped Avodah Zarah, and a Jew who worships Avodah Zarah, Mumad Avodah Zarah, Shechitos and Avela. We had Ravanon here in the last line on Hamad Aleph. He spent time on it. Rabbanon said, not so. Rabbanon said, even if there's a Jew who's rogel to worship Avodah Zarah, he's still Jewish in Shechitas Hekshev. So the Gemara made it to Yufta, the Rabbanon to Yufta. They made it to Yufta against him from the Brises. And that's how we pass on the Shulchan Aruch. Then a Muma, Yisrael Muma Avodah Zarah, even though it's only Muma the Mitzvah Achas, he keeps all the other mitzvahs. But he worships Avodah Zarah, so Shechitas and Avela. So because Rabbi Gamliel felt, because some of the Kusim we have ascertained, some of the Kusim worship Avodah Zarah, and those are Shechitas and Avela, so we have to be Machmer on all of them. Maybe all of them are Rabbi the Avodah Zarah, and they're all Shechitas and Avela. Rabbi Gamliel, Beis Dina, the chief rabbi, Rabbi Gamliel, and his Bez Namik, Remeir Svir Luhu, the Chashin Lemiyuta. Yeah. Let's see the Gemara. Pashta dekra b'maksiv. What's the pashup shot in the pasuk in Mishlei? The old man came over to the student, who was it? Rab Shimon ben Alozo, the student of Ramer, and he whispered to him, "If I were you, I wouldn't buy any food here. It's not kosher." V'samta sakim b'layecha. Put a knife in your mouth. Don't eat the food. In bal nefesh shot. Bal nefesh means one who's medaktik mitzvahs. If you want to be machmir mitzvahs, don't eat here. Well, wants to know pashta dekra b'maksiv. He took the pasuk out of context. What's the parsha before and after? What's the whole parsha talking about? Pshut Shal Mikra. So the Gemara says the Pshut Shal Mikra is referring to a Talmud HaYoshev Lefnei Rabbi, a student who's learning in a class by a rabbi. The Tani Rabchiyah made a comment on that parsha, the psukim that appear right before V'sam Tesakim V'Loyecha. In Mishle, what does it say? Kisei Shev Lilchom Es Moshel. We call it Melchamta Shal Torah. Here, I don't think it means milchamta shal. I think lilcha means to eat bread. If you're going to eat bread, it means you're going to nash, you're going to listen to Torah from the Moshel. Moshel is the big Tam Chacham who's Moshel. He knows all the Mishnayos and the whole Chumash and the whole Tanakh. He knows how to learn. So kisei shel lilchem is Moshel. When you come to eat bread by the Moshel, the Talmud is sitting to learn Torah by the Rebbe. Bin tovin es hasher lefanecha. Pay attention to what the Rebbe has to offer, and you should put a knife in your mouth. Keep still if you're bal nefesh. So what is it referring to? So the Gemara says, Rav Priya understood Pshut Shal Mikra means like this. If the Talmud, the Rebbe is giving a shiur, and the Talmud has a suffix about something. So if he thinks the Rebbe knows the material very well, and if he'll ask a question, the Rebbe will give him the correct answer. So ask your question. Don't be bashful. Don't be shy. Ask the question. Bin, it says bin tovin es hasher lefanecha. So bin, miloshim bina. Become smart. Ask the Rebbe the question. He'll give you the answer. V'im lav. But if you think the Rebbe doesn't know the material, and if you're going to ask him, he's going to fudge. He's not going to give you a good answer. So pack up and leave. Go to a different yeshiva. Tovin es hasher lefanecha. Understand what's going on. You don't belong here in this yeshiva. What does it mean? Proshe men will leave that yeshiva, go to a different yeshiva. Learn by someone else. Make sure you learn by a Rebbe who knows all the answers. And if you think the Rebbe doesn't know the answers, don't embarrass him in public. How do you know if the Rebbe knows the answers or not? So you ask him after the shiur. First ask him after the shiur. So if you ask once or twice or three times, and the Rebbe knows his stuff, so then you can ask in the shiur. He'll give you the answer in the shiur. But if by asking outside of the shiur, you get the impression the Rebbe is fudging, he doesn't really know the answers, so don't ask him in shiur. Don't embarrass him. Just pack up and go to a different yeshiva.
This is the Poshim Shah?
Yeah, this is the Poshim Shah. That's the Poshim. Of course, based on the previous Pesukim, it doesn't go being careful on kashrus. See, he took it, the old man took it out of context. If I were you, I wouldn't eat here because anyone who has Yerushalayim and Bal Nefesh Atah don't eat here. He says, that's not, the Pasuk isn't talking about eating bread. Kisei Shel Lilchem, Es Moshel, it means you're going to eat bread. No, you're going to learn Torah by the Rebbe. The Moshel is the one who's Moshel in the whole Torah. And Lilchem means to Nash Divrei Torah. You want to pick up the Torah from the Rebbe. So then, if you're Bal Nefesh, So don't ask him any question because he won't know the answers. So the Gemara tells another story. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef Shadre Rabbi Abbo Lasui Chamer Mebei Kusoy. Rabbi Abbo sent to one of his Talmid, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef, he should buy wine from the Kusim. Afchechei Ahusa, but also a funny story. An old man bumps into him. He does know, this is Eliyahu Novi, this is Atam Chacham, this is Abur, Amor, he does know who it is. So he says, These people are not religious. If I were you, I wouldn't buy any wine here. These guys are not religious. So he didn't know what to do. The Talmud didn't know if this old man is reliable. He goes and he tells the rabbi who sent him. That's when an old man told me. I don't know what to make of it. The two Talmidim of Rabbi Yechanan. So then when they heard that an old man, and they heard the story about Rabbi Meir's Talmud, what Rabbi Meir was earlier. And Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, with Talmidim of Rabbi Yechanan, a few generations later. So they, maybe it's the same old man, maybe it's Eliyahu Navi. So they realized, So they gave a psak that you treat the kusim as goyim gemur. So gemur lemai, with respect to what? But I mean, lozaz mishamach hasam rab the kamal gemur. Ilishchita v'yayin esech. The hasam gazru b'hu rabbonim. If it's with respect to shchita, that was already instituted by Rabbi Gamliel. If it's v'yayin esech, that was in the days of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir sent his student to buy the wine, and the old man said, if I were you, I wouldn't buy the wine. So we already know, you can't trust the kusim, not for shchita, even mashgichim watching, not a question, you can't trust them. A kusi shushochat and shchitos in aveila, and a kusi who manufactures wine is yein akum, you're not allowed to drink it, so the shchita is covered by Rabbi Gamliel's takana, and the wine is covered by Rabbi Meir's takana. So what was added on now? The Maaseh Shai was, he went to buy wine, he thought that these kusim were from Eden. Then he heard that not. The old man said not. So it sounds like lozazim hashem hashatzam of the kachavim gemurim sounds like something more than just stam yenim. So what's of the kachavim gemurim? Not just for stam yenim. Where says Ella il shchit v'anes mahazim gozer rabbanon. And for the gemara, you're right. Inu gozer, Rab Meir made the gzeira, and Rabbi Gamliel b'shaita made the gzeira on the shchita. Rameh made the gzeira on the wine. V'lo kibla minai. Klal Yisrael didn't accept it. When the Bezna makes a gzeira, in goes in gzeira otziban, kei roi batzibi chalim lamed boi. So gzeira de Rabbanon, if you give a psak, and the people can't live at the psak, but the psak is what the din is. The din is the din, whether the people like it or they don't like it. But if you're making a new chumr mid Rabbanon, you have to have the haskama of the tzibur. So if the tzibur doesn't accept it, it's no good. So this was a gzeira de Rabbanon. So Inu, the original Rabbi Gamliel made a gzera for shchita, and Rabbi Meir made a gzera when they gave to Stam Yenam. But look, Kiblam and I, the Tzibah didn't accept it. But also Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Asi, because Rabbi Kiblam and I, when they made the gzera, it was accepted. That's what Rashi raises the question. Why? Because Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Asi was so much greater Talmid HaChachamim than Rabbi Meir, than Rabbi Gamliel. How can it be? Rabbi Gamliel was a chief rabbi, Rabbi Meir was a Tana. Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Asi were students of Rabbi Yechon, they're Amaroyim. So Rashi asks the question. So Rashi answers, no, it's a historical issue. It's not an issue of learning. Rashi writes, Lo she'elu g'dayla mehemenu. They correct, Lo she'elu g'dayla me'elu. Not that Rabbi Yami, Rabbi Asi, be greater Talmid HaChachamim than Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Gamliel. That doesn't make sense. Elo she'bedoro shel Rabbi Meir. The tzibur was not prepared to accept the l'rotza l'kabal alayim lifrish min akusim. Why? Fisha regina behem. They all lived together. It was an integrated community. So how can they separate themselves? They're not going to drink wine, not going to eat flesh. They were next door neighbors. Ubedorosho, Rabami, Rabasi, it was a later generation. Hoyef Shalom Lifrosh. They were already separated by themselves. There was already a rift. So when he made Xerad Rabbanon to treat the Kusim as going Lorim, so it was shach that it would be accepted. It's a historical explanation. It's not Elu G'dayla Mi'el. It's not the Rabami, Rabasi were greater Talmid HaChachamim, and therefore their Xerad was accepted.
The same as the other one.
Huh?
The same ones that Rabbi Amir asked before, that they ate the shchita?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that was before. And then later, they made the gzera.
So
yeah.
It sounds like it's mid Rabbanon, that the Kutum are mid Rabbanon.
And maybe.
Like
see, that's the question. The Gemara says, Lozazim Shamach Asom of the Kochavim Gemurim. So that's the question. Of the Kochavim Gemurim means Lahachmir? Or Bein Lahak or Bein Lahachmer.
Yeah, but you have to get the Haskama of Bnei Yisrael. That's Mamshu Gzeira, not a Psak. So Gzeira is mid Rabbanah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's what it sounds like. But others say, right, I don't know exactly all the detail. Others say, we said it's based on the Pasuk, the Gemara at the end of the first Perek in Yevam is quoted. There was one opinion that the Aseres HaShvatim intermarried. And any goy bizman hazeh may possibly be a descendant basach habasach habas. Maybe this goy today, goy shemen, maybe his mother was Jewish because her mother's 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 mother all the way back was when Naseres HaShvatim. So maybe 50 generations later, maybe any goy in any country in the world, maybe he's really Jewish because his mother's mother's mother was Jewish. And maybe if he's Mekadosh a woman, it's Choshish in the Kedushin, Safi Kedushin. So the Gemara had one opinion like that, and the Gemara says we don't pass like that. We reject it because the Pasuk in Tria also says that once they intermarried, and once they assimilated, said, they intermarried, so they're going to Gemara. So that's lahakalul hachmer. We say if a guy is mekadosh anisha, ein choshishim lekidushin, ein choshishim lekidushin lahakal. So that's the question here when it says the loss of Agamar there, the end of the Yeah, but we say that not mitame either. That I'm not mitame ba'ohel. A guy is only mitame b'magam masa, a dead guy, and a dead Jew is mitame b'magam masa ba'ohel. So not only kedushim, but you can say afkin abban kedushim inay. We say mamish the goyim gemurim. I can sell my chametz to him. He can be my Shabbos goy. He can be my goy for the bechirat chametz purposes. Lahakel and everything. Bein lahakel bein lahachmer. So that's based on the pasuk in Triosa. So that's a big shayla. Maybe that pasuk in Triosa only applies to the aseres hashvatim. That's the context. That's what it's talking about. So some rishonim hold over here. The lashon is similar. Lazazim mishama chasam akum gemurim. And there the lashon was lazaz mishama chasam kakum gurim l'chol divrehem. So some rishonim write that it's the same over here. That it's bein lahakal bein lahachma. So it's not. I don't know. You treat it like a din derabbanan that you need haskamas hatzibur the way Rashi runs. Need haskamas hatzibur, but after the tzibur agrees, then somehow it becomes a din deraisa.
Then they paskin. I don't know.
That's a very good question. What do you need? The Rashi learns you need haskamas hatzibur, but if they have haskamas hatzibur, a group of rishonim hold that it becomes a din deraisa based on that pasuk that the kusim adina kakam bein lahakal bein lahachma. Not just we treat them all as a mumal abodizara, because maybe these kusim are worshipping just like the kusim and hagrizim are worshipping at the musyayna. Maybe all the other kusim all over the world are also worshipping some kind of an abodizara or another. So they don't say like that. They say we treat him as a goy gomer, bein lahakal bein lahachma. The Rambam writes like that. We mentioned the Pirush HaMishnayos in the end of Nida. The Rambam says, after this takana that they treated the kusim as a goy, so kusi shemes is not mitami ba'ohel, it's only mitami ba'maga b'masa. And then some achrenim say, some rishonim achrenim say in Ebenezer, if a kusi is mekadosh anisha b'zman hazeh, ein choshishim l'kedushin, bein lahakal bein lahachmer. You can use him as the Shabbos goy. You can sell the chametz to the kusi. You can charge ribbis. Bein lahakal bein lahachmer, we treat him like a goy. And others say, no, it's only lahachmer. It's like a mumal avodah. You have to be choshish. Maybe all of the kusim are mumal avodah zara. Mumal avodah zara is dina kakam lahachmer, not lahakel. Only lahachmer. So that's a question. And then the third shita was that not only a group of people who have floated away so far away from mainstream Judaism that the Bezin declares that's dina kakam, and then the pasuk applies, Bashem bagod kiborim zarmi alodu, even an individual Jew who converts officially to another religion loses his kedushis zom and atura. That was a shita sagoyim. Then a mumarein is okay. If a man dies and he leaves an alman and no children and his wife needs chalitza yibum and the only surviving brother is a Jew who converted to a different religion, so the goyim are of the opinion you don't need chalitza. The one who converted to another religion is ois Jew. Bein lahakal bein lahachmer, he's not Jewish at all. So the Ramo, we don't really hold like that. We're choshish lahachmer like that. If there are two brothers and one is converted to another religion, one is not, so then you should insist that one who didn't convert should do the chalitz. So we only follow that opinion, lahachmer, but we wouldn't say lahakel if the only surviving brother is a Jew who converted to another religion, he doesn't need chalitz. We wouldn't say like that. We would require chalitz. Yeah, the fellow died. Balabas died in Germany, had no children. He had two surviving brothers. One was a communist who was an atheist who lived in Russia. And the other one had converted. The other one lived in Germany, in Berlin, and had converted to Christianity. So the shaila was whether they can have. And they thought the one is an atheist for sure. He's an atheist for sure. He's not going to do the chalitza. But the one who converted only did it for parnosa purposes, and he thought he's a nice guy, so he'll probably agree to do the chalitza. So the rabbanim were writing whether he can do chalitza. So the Sridi Yesh, this was before the Second World War, so the Sridi Yesh, whenever they would have a Shver Shaila in Berlin, they would consult him. He was in Hildesheim Seminar. So he wrote a whole shuv, and he thought, Lehachmer, that we're the one who converted to Christianity, so we're machmer for the Goyim Shita, that he's Dinakakum, Mamish Agoy Gomer. The other one, although he was an atheist, and Apikoros also Dinakakum, Apikoros Dinakakum only Lehachmer, not Lehokel, you don't say Lehokel. So he thought that since there are two brothers, and one converted, one didn't convert, so we would insist on the one who didn't convert, even though he's the atheist, and if he doesn't want, so she's up the creek, she's stuck. So then the Rav bumped into the Ragachava, who came, every so often he would come to Germany for medical treatment. So the Rav in the village bumped into the Ragachava, and he told him the Shaila. So he said, no, let the brother who converted, what do you make up Chumris? What are you talking about? So then he told him that Weinberg, the one who wrote this way, he said like that. So he said, who's this guy Weinberg? What is he, crazy? What did he come up with a Chumra? So he said, so the rabbi sent back a letter to the Sridi Yesh, to Weinberg. So he said, if it's machlek, it's me and the Ragachava, I'll give in to the Ragachava. But he consulted all the other rabbanim, he sent him his shtikel Torah, and they all agreed with him. And in the Sefer, he prints all of the other four tshuvas from the other rabbanim. The Rav from Mir and the Rav from Kalish. This time he didn't, sometimes he would consult Rav Chaim Moshe, sometimes the Chazon Ish. These two he doesn't have from them. He has from poor rabbanim. So they all agreed with Weinberg. Yeah, then the end of the story was, he puts as a footnote at the end, Sridi Yesh writes, the end of the story was that one of the rabbanim bumped into the Meshumad brother in Berlin, and he told him, oh, you know, the rabbis are corresponding whether they should permit you to do chalitza or not. So he got very stiff and he said, me, chalitza, nothing to discuss. I'm not Jewish, I'm never going to do chalitza. Tell him there's nothing to discuss. So the Ragachava took it as a simon min hashamayim that his psak was wrong, that Weinberg was right. Yeah.
Does the person doing chalitza demand, does he need to have any kavana? I mean, could they have just offered this guy X amount of money just to do it, even though he doesn't believe that it has any significance?
That's what they're going to do, even though he had converted. If he would have done it for the purpose of chalitza, it would have been good. But if he's a goy, so it's no good. If the Jew converted his dinah ka'akum, then he's not Jewish, so he's not a brother anymore, so he can't do the chalitza. So we're machma like the goyim shita. The goyim hold that if there's only one surviving brother and he converted to another religion, she's allowed to remarry without a chalitza, period. He doesn't count, he's not Jewish at all. So we don't accept that opinion, that if there's only one brother and he's converted to Avodah Zarah, then you don't need chalitza. We say lahachma, if there are two brothers and one converted, so we're machma like the goyim, that there's no zika to him, there's only zika to the other brother who didn't convert, and we should insist the brother who didn't convert should do the chalitz. We say it lahachma, not lahokil.
If there's only one brother, we hope for the goyim?
We don't really hope in the goyim. The pashtus is not chacham avadye, paskins b'shas hatchak like the goyim. That's one of his many difficult psukim. He has a lot of difficult psukim. That's one of them. He paskins like the goyim, that a Jew who converted to another religion is a goy gomer. We don't hold like that. The Gemara says that if a Jew converted to another religion, it's Mekadosh and Isha, Kiddush of Kiddushin. So the Goyim hold it's only Kiddushin with the Rabbanim. In our Torah, it's not Kiddushin because he's a Goy Gomer. Anyone who converts to another religion, it's a Goy Gomer. We hold it's not so. We hold Kiddush of Kiddushin in our Torah. A Jew who converts to another religion is still Jewish. Once he's Jewish, he's always Jewish. It's if he wants to become Jewish again, we are machmer midrabbanan to go through geiris. And the goyim hold, no, it's not a chumer midrabbanan. That's a din min haTorah. He needs geiris midraisa because he lost the kedushas Yisrael. But we don't really hold like that.
So there's a dispute about Israel.
Afal pishu chotov, he does a mother chet, he's still Jewish. But if he converts to another religion officially, so that's a machloika. So the Goyim, many of the Goyim are of the opinion he doesn't have a din of a Jew at all. You can sell a chometz to him. You can use him as a Shabbos goy. He's not Jewish.
If he's required to go through Geiris the Araisa, then he's not a brother to his brother.
Correct.
So then he can't, well then he could marry the girl anyway.
he should be allowed to marry. I mean, after he converts. After he converts, maybe they'll say it like that. Maybe the Gadim will say it like that. I don't know. But we really don't pass him like the Gadim. We say the Chumrah. If they're two brothers and one converted, even though the other one is also an apikoris, he's an atheist. The communist is also an atheist, but still, the atheist didn't convert to another religion, so he's still Jewish, he's still a brother. So the Gemara says, why did Rabbi Ami Rabbazi Gozru that what Shiyuka Akum Gimurim? What's the Loshon Kehovti Kochavim Gimurim? What's it does Gimurim? See, Rabbi Gamliel made the takana, you shouldn't eat Shchitas Kusi. Rabbi Meir said, you shouldn't drink the Yen Kusi. So what was added on over here? So the Gemara said, the Loshon Gimurim sounds like it's adding on something more. So the Gemara, Mayav Dicham Gimurim, what's added on with that word Gimurim? Amar Amnachem Ayitzchak, Levato Rishus, Velitim Rishus. It includes the following din, Kiritanya. The din is, let's say you have an apartment building, you have 100 apartments. So min haTorah, the whole building is one big Rishus HaYochid, and you're allowed to carry from one apartment to the other. Shlomo HaMelech made a takana de Rabbonon. The Gemara says in the beginning of the second parak in Yevamos, and the Baskol came out from heaven and gave him the Yashukach, such a wonderful takana de Rabbonon. He made a takana de Rabbonon that if you have a different family living in each apartment, you're not allowed to carry from one apartment to the other. This is one kind of Rishus HaYochid, that's a different Rishus HaYochid. In our Torah, it's all the same thing. A Rishus HaYochid is a Rishus HaYochid. I mean, the Rabbanu Shlomo HaMelech made a takon. He can't carry from one Rishus HaYochid, Shal Ruvain, to Rishus HaYochid, Shal Shimon. Then he made another takon. He can't even carry from the apartment to the hallways, because the hallways are shared in common by Ruvain and Shimon. And this apartment is only used by Ruvain's family, and that apartment is only used by Shimon's family. So the apartment, but the hallway are two Rishus HaYochids also. He's not allowed to carry from one to the other, unless you make an Erev. You have to put away a box of matzahs. That's on the shut. So let's say you have an apartment building, it has 100 apartments, 95 apartments are lived in by Jews, and 5 apartments are by Goyim. So you're going to have a box of matzahs, and the matzahs are shared b'shutfus with the Goyim. The Goyim have no shaykhs, the whole story of the Hilcha Shabbos. So you can't make an Erev to be mishatif together, the Goyim. So you buy a box of matzahs, and you make a shutfus for the 95 Shom Shabbos who live there, and who's going to move into the next Pesach, you say you have the mine also, but the 5 Goyisha families, you have to knock on everyone's door, and you have to rent the apartment from them. You have to say, I want to give you $1 to rent your apartment for the next 20 years, so you shouldn't ask on me. Then he said, what do you mean, rent my apartment? You want to move in? I say, no, only for religious purposes, I have no right to use your apartment for anything else. And he's afraid you're going to do something, and say, it doesn't have to be written down, b'ksav, we don't need any witnesses, and you're not going to lose anything, only for religious purposes. Right. So when you make the kinyan by the goy, when you rent the goy's apartment, so how exactly do you do it? So you have to give him $1, you have to give him a nickel, whatever, you give him some money, rent it. What if he just says, I don't need the $1, it's okay, I rent you, hereby orally, I rent you the apartment. So the Gemara says that's no good. He has to dafka make a kinyan to rent the apartment. He can write a shtar. If he doesn't want to take the dollars, he can write, I hereby rent you the apartment for the next 20 years free of charge with this shtar. Okay, he gives a document. But if he's just going to do orally, he'll say, I rent you the apartment for religious purposes for the next 20 years. That's no good. So let's say the apartment building has 95 Jewish tenants and 5 of them forgot to make a shutfus and the box of matzahs. By us, it never happens because one person buys a box of matzahs and I go to my next door neighbor, I say, pick up the box of matzahs at Tefach, have a mind to be kind of shutfus to all the 95 Jewish families and fire things. So by us, it never happens. But in the days of the Tanaim, they didn't always do it like that. They would do it like this. They would have a basket and each of the 95 families would put in a little bull color. Everyone would put in a roll. So what if 5 out of 95 families forgot to put in a roll? So even the 90 people that did put in the roll, there are 5 people who asked them. So no one's allowed to carry it all. So if the 5 families who didn't participate, our Shomer Shabbos, the Jewish people, the religious, so they can be Mevatel Rishus. They can say, we want to be Makna orally. It's a Takana Derabban, I mean, our Torah doesn't exist. We want to be Makna Balpeh, orally, believe my Sekinyan, the Rishus of our apartment, we're not going to carry from our apartment into the hallways because we didn't participate in the Erev. But we're makna our schus in the hallways, and we're makna our apartments for religious purposes to the 90 Shomer Shabbos who did participate in the Erev. So that's called Levatal Rishus.
You can do it on Shabbos too.
You can do it on Shabbos too. Until you do it, they're not allowed to carry. And after they're Levatal Rishus, from that point on, you can do it. You don't even need a Maisa Kenyan. Special Takona. So the Gemara says, when we treat the Kusim as of the Kochavim Gimurim, what do you mean Gimurim? What do you mean? They can no longer do it until Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Basi made their takana, the kusim and not go of the kacham gemur. So if they would forget to participate in the erev in the building, we would permit them to be mevatel rishus v'noisim rishus. But after Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Basi made the takana, we treat them mamish like goyim gemurim. They don't have the din of Jews that they should. You have to rent from them by giving money. You have to make a kinyan. If you didn't make a kinyan mamish, the oral kinyan malpeh is no good. Kidetanya, Yisrael mumer. If there's a Jew who violates averis, mumer means he violates a lot of averis. But it's mishamish abat bashuk. At least he's not a mechal shabbos befahesi in the street in public. He is a shamish shabbos. So it's still dinuk Yisrael. That mevatel bishus menosim bishus. He can be mevatel bishus balpeh. You don't need a ma'ase kinyan. However, what if he's not even Shemesh Shabbat Bashuk? Shemesh Shemesh Shabbat Bashuk. Even in the street in public, he's Mechal Shabbos Bafahesia. Shabbos doesn't mean anything to him. So then, Einem Avatal Bashus Venoisim Bashus. So what do you do if you have five tenants like that? So you have to rent from them, just like you have to rent with a dollar from the Goyim, you have to rent a dollar from the Jews. Yeah, it means Bafahesia. Bafahesia means that it's Bemezid. And he's not even embarrassed to be Mechal Shabbos. Yeah, our Jews, most of them are B'shoigeg. Then the Binyan Sion lived, Rabbi Yanke Vetlager lived in the beginning of the Reform movement. He's one who gave smicha to Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch. So he writes that there's so many Mechal Shabbos, so they don't have a din of Mechal Shabbos B'fes. If he's the only one who's breaking the discipline in the community, all the others are Shami Shabbos, and he's doing B'chutzpah, then it's called Mechal Shabbos B'fes. But if so many people are Mechalei Shabbos, so that's not called Mechal Shabbos Beferhesi. Then the Chazanish writes the same. The Munkatcher quotes and he disagrees. A Munkatcher, that wasn't the case. A Minkatcher, the Reform movement came later. When he was there, Minkatch, hardly anybody was Mechal Shabbos. I remember one of the Rabbanim, Rabbi Drillman, said he learned by Rabbi Chana Basaman in Baranovich. So he says, most of the Jews were Shemesh Shabbos. So one week, the Jewish barber decided he needs more parnos, and they're going to stay open on Shabbos. So Rabbi Chana heard it. He went in to speak to him. He shouldn't be on Shabbos. He has no brayer. He has to have parnos. He doesn't have enough parnos. So Rabbi Chana on Shabbos morning went to all the shuls after davening, after musaf, and he said they're going to protest in front of the barber shop. So he got all the brachim from the yeshiva, and some of them went to one shul, went to another shul. All the frumi yidden from the city came, and they all stood in front of the barbershop on Shabbos, and they all walked in and they said, "How can you be Mechal Shabbos?" The next Shabbos, he was closed. So that's Mechal Shabbos. And for Hesia means he's breaking the discipline in the community. But if there's so many, half of the Jews, more than half the Jews are Mechal Shabbos, you can't call Mechal Shabbos for Hesia. For Hesia means he's breaking the discipline. For Ked Bayas, the Shemesh Shabbos are often breaking the discipline. So here was a Shaila, which Rabbi Gamliel are we talking about? See, Rashi says the Rabbi Gamliel was after the Mishnah. The Chasimus on Mishnah was Rabbi Yudan Nosi, and this is Rabbi Gamliel, Benosha Rabbi Yudan Nosi. So Tosis finds that difficult. Rabbi Meir preceded Rabbi Yudan Nosi. Rabbi Meir was before. So how come Rabbi Meir made the Gzeira on Stam Yenim? Stam Yenim is only a Din de Rabbanon. And the Gzeira against Shchitas Kusi was made later, after the days of Rabbi Yudan Nosi. So Lekshach Nishaf and Seichel. And should have first introduced a Chumra Benegir to Shchitas Kusi, that's an issue deraisa, and later add on a Chumra Benegir to Stam Yenim. So this leads Tosfos to believe that it must be a Rabbi Gamliel, one of the earlier Rabbi Gamliels who preceded the days of Rabbi Meir, that he originally made a Chumra Benegir to the Din deraisa of Shchitas Kusi, and he didn't make on Stam Yenim. And then in the days of Rabbi Meir, they extended it to Stam Yenim, and then it wasn't really lo kiblua, the whole thing was wobbly, and then when Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Basi made it, they repeated the Gzeira of Ikeblu, the Tzibur accepted it, and they broadened it out. They said, Ka'akum Gemurim, Gemurim. What do you mean, Gemurim? With respect to all the dinim, even that he can't be Mevatel Rishus. Then he get to all the dinim, not just when he get to the Shchita, when he get to the Stam Yenim, When you get to all of the dinim.
But also, if you look at the word Rabbi Gamliel preceded Rebbe, then how could we have a question? Did Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't cover that or not? Even the Tani, even the Mora.
Yeah.
How could it be a couple of questions?
Yeah, so Rashi doesn't like to say like that because the Mishnah says Shchitas Kusi is good. So how can it be that there was Rabbi Gamliel at Beis Dino? He was the chief rabbi that made a din, and it's not mentioned in the Mishnah. Should have been mentioned in the Mishnah. So that's a historical issue. It's not a shaila in halacha. It's a historical issue. Rashi claims it must have been post Mishnah as a taina, and then Taisa said it doesn't make sense that the early gzera was on Stam Yenim and the late gzera was on the Yayin. So it's a historical riddle. It's a problem, but it's not enough kamina halacha. Bottom line, la halacha, it's the same thing, just the historical machlekes. Okay, we'll stop here. In Parshas Vayakel, the Torah says that they collected donations for the Mishkan from the women also. Hanoshim Atzovas Pesach Ol Moed gave their mirrors, and they made the, for the Maris Atzovas Pesach Ol Moed, they made the kiyor. So there's a famous medrash. The medrash draws the contrast between the men and the women. That the men, when Aaron HaKohen wanted to make the egel, so he said, take off your wife's jewelry and donate it, because he thought the women wouldn't want to give. The men wouldn't want to give. And he thought that's never going to happen. Aaron HaKohen thought the husbands will never succeed in getting the jewelry. So the Maisa, the Medrash says the women didn't give. The women didn't want to participate in donation to the Chet Ego. And the men didn't have Seichel. The men, the Medrash has the Loshen, Nitvoim le'egel v'noisnim, Nitvoim le'mishka v'noisnim. When you pressure them to give a donation for a charitable institution, so when you pressure them to give to the Ego, they gave. When you pressure them to give to the Mishkan, they also gave. Yeah. They didn't have the Chush to distinguish between a worthy cause and not a worthy cause. And the women had the chush. The women understood. You don't give money to the egel, you give money to a mishkan. So that's what the Gemara says, that Rosh Chodesh is a yontif for women. And Rashi always explains, Rashi quotes the Pirkei of the Rabbi Elazar. Why is Rosh Chodesh a yontif for women? Because Chanukah's HaMishkan was on the Shmini Lemiluim. The last 7 days in Chodesh Adar were the Shivas Miluim. And the Shmini Lemiluim was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So the women were specially celebrating that they understood a valid charity from a poor charity. You don't give money to the Egel, but you do give money to the Mishkan. So every month, Amish Chodesh, the women would celebrate as a yontif in commemoration of the fact it's the yontif of knowing where to put your money, where to give your tzedakah. So the women celebrate that yontif. The men Nebuchad didn't know. So the men have nothing to celebrate about. But the women who understood, you only give to worthy cause, they celebrate Rosh Chodeshim as a yontif. The Mishnah Berurah in Shulchan Aruch talks about this. The meaning is that the women don't do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. They don't type and they don't do laundry and they don't sew clothing. So he says, what do you mean? It's an old minig. It's an old minig that the women taka shouldn't type and they shouldn't write and they shouldn't stitch and they shouldn't do the laundry. Or it's a recommendation that we're suggesting it's a minig. Every woman should accept the minig. So Mishnah Berurah thinks the first way. He thinks not. We recommend they should observe. He thinks that it's all the women have a minig like that. See, that's all minhagim are binding mitam neder, as if you took a neder ledvar mitzvah. So there's such a thing as a neder hayochid and there's a neder hatzibur. What do you mean? There's a neder hatzibur. All the women have a neder hatzibur. Does that make sense? The women are tzibur b'fnei atzmai. So the women have a. Or do we say no? It's a recommended minig. We recommend that each woman, when she gets older, should observe such a minig. But it's not that it's binding on the women. So the Mishnah Berurah thinks, no, it is binding on the women. This is an old minhag from the days of the Tanoim, from Rabbi Elazar the Tanoim, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. Mishnah Berurah thinks that the minhag is binding, that the women should be careful not to type, and not to stitch, and not to do laundry on Rosh Chodesh. That's what they're supposed to be celebrating. The women have more seichel than the men about giving charity.
Dina
Yisera. Yeah.
What's in between a goy and a goy goma? A goy goma is Ayid. Yeah,
that's right. A goy is a goy. A goy goma is Ayid.
The Karoim and Eretz Yisrael are like the Kusim.
Karoim.
not like him. I like the Kusim Kodimak Zeir. I'm the Kusim Kodimak Zeir.